Well, good morning, everybody. I hope you're all enjoying the school holidays. And just want to acknowledge the people on social media this morning. I got a word from the Lord, and it's for the people here, but it's also for you at home to be blessed. I especially want to acknowledge two little boys in Melbourne. Luke and Hudson, God bless you both. Be good for your mum and dad. Amen. Praise God. Well, it's good to be in church today, and I really do have a word from the Lord, so could we just pray right now? And Father, we just come before you, and Lord, we thank you for your presence with us today. Thank you, Lord, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Thank you, Lord, that you lift us up here and at home. And Lord, we Lord, pray that we'll have ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. Lord, I also very conscious and very aware that people can have burdens too. But Lord, we just pray for miracles to take place, Lord, as the word goes forth, as we talk about you. We pray, Lord, for people at home and people in the seats here at Real Life Church. We'll have miracles. Pray you'll move in people's lives. I pray you'll speak to people. Pray that hope will come, Lord, today in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Now, if you're a man, could you just grunt? You can stop grunting now. Amen. That was pretty impressive. Guys, the men's breakfast is going to be so good. So we don't have a men's event this Wednesday, but we've got the men's breakfast, and we're going to have the highest possible amount of cholesterol in our food and calories in our food next Saturday. And all the men said, amen. And it's going to be great. But more importantly, we just believe we're going to have a moment with God together as well. So guys, get along. What time is it? It's 8 o'clock. And we're walking out by 9:30. So make sure you put your names on a red top table. That's for catering all of that delicious food. But we are going to have a marvelous time. So guys, make sure you're involved with that. Who's ready for the word of the Lord? So am I. So am I. I'm just settling myself down looking over you just for a minute. Happy birthday, by the way, Helene. It's your birthday, I believe. Is that right? 2 weeks ago. Happy birthday. Amen. Who else is going to have a birthday this year? Anybody else? Yeah. Happy birthday to you all. Caitlin, of course, turned 16, and happy birthday. Happy birthday to you at all. I'm going to read a beautiful scripture. It's from the book of Genesis, and it says this. It's actually the first couple of verses in the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. And it says this. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and it was empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. The light was
good.
The light's good. A lot of people think I've always been a pastor, that somehow when my mother gave birth to me, she gave birth to a pastor. And my mother gave birth to a little baby. I just want everybody to understand that. And, you know, I've done other things in my life, though the call of God's been upon me. But I actually didn't go into the ministry till I was 34 years of age, and I was assisting in another place. But I once used to work for a company that was located on St. George's Terrace in the city. And one morning, I had to get up extra early to go to a company breakfast. As much as I liked the company breakfasts, getting up early really was not great. So I got dressed for work in the dark, because I didn't want to wake Rochelle, because I'm an incredible husband. I then rushed out of the house really quick, because, you know, you're always 2 minutes late, and I rushed off to the company breakfast. However, while walking briskly through the city to the restaurant, I looked down at my shoes, and I was horrified at what I saw. Because back in those days, I used to wear Doc Martin shoes. Not the boots, they're the boots, but I used to wear the shoes. And I had black Doc Martens and I had cherry-coloured Doc Martens. And I thought I looked pretty cool in my cherry-coloured Doc Martens. But while getting dressed in the dark, I put a black shoe on my left foot and a cherry-coloured shoe on my right foot. Needless to say, it was a very embarrassing experience as my colleagues smirked at me. And some of you think I'm OCD, but my OCD boss, he was really bad. He just shook his head with just disbelief. And I was trying to impress him. I didn't do it that day. So then I got a courier to go all the way back to Armidale where I lived to get my other black shoe and bring it to the office. The whole experience made me look really dumb. But I would have never have made that mistake if the light had been switched on while I was getting dressed for work. And so if you get nothing else out of this sermon, I pray that you will. But I recommend that you always get dressed in the light. I just want to say that, okay. On another occasion, I was woken up, this was a long time ago, but I was woken up one night by one of our boys crying for attention when they were little. They stopped doing it by the time they were about 25. But then Ben's watching right now. God bless you, Ben. No, they were little and they were crying for attention. Rochelle remained asleep while she was faking it. And so I reluctantly got out of bed to go and check on what was going on. However, in the darkness of the night, I just couldn't feel my way out of the bedroom. I just couldn't get out of the bedroom. No matter how hard I tried, I didn't know where the bedroom door was or even the light switch. And obviously the bedroom door was still where it had always been, but my perception of my surroundings was distorted by the darkness. And I just couldn't find my way out of the room. The same thing happened to Rochelle, except Rochelle, we used to have these cupboards. Rochelle actually climbed into a cupboard by mistake. I got a lot of stories I could tell you, but we'll just leave. That's been too transparent. But I couldn't get out of the room, and I think I ended up waking up Rochelle because I was freaking out a little bit. But it was just a totally weird experience. Has that happened to anybody else? Oh, thank the Lord. I was so scared that I was going to be the only one, me and Rochelle, because we're weird. But this is the thing. If the light had been switched on, I would have seen where the door was and everything would have been okay. Because we all know when things are dark, it's hard to see properly. Things become distorted. You know, when I got dressed for work to go to that early morning breakfast, I didn't plan to mix up my shoes. I really didn't. I think, oh, I'm going to mix up my shoes today. No, I never planned for that to happen. I sincerely thought I'd chosen the right shoes. But later in the morning sunlight on St. George's Terrace, it was clear I'd made a mistake. My vision and my sense of judgment had been all distorted by the darkness of my bedroom, but I didn't know that it had been distorted. I didn't know my mistake until I stepped out into the light. The light reveals the truth, but darkness distorts reality. Darkness affects your visual judgment. When things are dark, you risk stumbling, stubbing your toe. That has got to be the worst thing. Other than being punched in the nose, I reckon stubbing your toe is the most painful experience of all. You know, especially when you're a Christian and you make sure you don't say any naughty words when you do it. Amen, amen. But when things are dark, you risk stumbling, stubbing your toe, and you risk falling over obstacles because you can't see them. And in the dark, you struggle then to find things also that you've lost. You need the light to see properly. And ladies and gentlemen and folks at home, our world is shrouded in a thick darkness. I'm not talking about natural light, but another kind of darkness. It's a darkness of the heart. People do not have respect for God, and they have no room for God, so their hearts have become filled with darkness. And that darkness is a shadow over the entire world. Even people who seem very moral and very good have dark hearts when they have no room for God in their lives. And the Bible even goes to say this. It says that some people even love darkness more than the light because they love their evil deeds. And just as natural darkness makes it difficult to see around a room, so this terrible heart darkness makes it hard to see life clearly. This heart darkness distorts a person's view of reality. And so that's why people, even intelligent people, frequently make very foolish decisions about the stuff of life. Sometimes I am shocked at how some people needlessly self-destruct through their foolish behavior and poor decisions. But you see, people stumble into making poor decisions because they're blinded by the shadow of their dark heart and they can't see. And this heart darkness hides the many, many, many dangerous obstacles of daily living that bring pain and hurt if you collide with them. Now, there are numerous people and there are great organizations that sincerely do their best to help make life better for other people. And that is all very good and that is honorable, and we should all do good to help other people. Nonetheless, no matter how great our efforts are to make the world a better place, families still keep falling apart. Our jails are packed. Drugs keep destroying lives. Society is stressed and at breaking point. And most importantly, people don't have peace with God. Our problem, ladies and gentlemen, in this world is not a lack of education. It's not climate change. It's not COVID-19. It's not China. It's not a lack of government services. It's not your ex-partner. And it's not your lack of money. Our number one problem is darkness of heart, because we have no respect for God, so we can't see past our nose. And darkness of heart keeps a person locked in a room of discontent and fear, and they cannot find the door to get out. But thank God, there's only one solution to this thick darkness of heart. There is a solution. And that solution is the light. The Bible says this in John 1 verse 5. It says, the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. The light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. The light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. You know, most nights when we settle down to eat our dinner, she begins to light some fragrant candles in her home. She goes around. We've got candles in different rooms. I've actually never bothered to look, Rochelle, to see how many candles we've got, but there's candles around the place. She lights them as we're settling down, an hour before we go to bed, lights the candles. I actually like her doing that. The candles she's got, they're not big. Yet if we switch all of our electric lights off, those candles will still keep casting their light. In fact, never once have those candles ever been overwhelmed by the darkness. Because darkness is no match for the light. And I've actually never seen darkness and light wrestling each other. You know, they don't go bang and all the light presses this way, darkness this way. They never wrestle each other. When a light is introduced into a dark room, the darkness always disappears. Always, always disappears. Light dispels darkness every single time. And Jesus Christ is the light that dispels the darkness in your heart. And only Jesus Christ. The Bible says this in John 8 verse 12. It says, Jesus spoke to the people and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. And I'm just going to read that Bible verse again. It's such a powerful verse. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, because you will have the light that leads to life. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. But more importantly, Jesus Christ can be your light. Hey, Jesus Christ can be your light. People at home, Jesus Christ can be your light. Jesus can dispel the thick darkness in your heart so you can truly see and know God. But look at the verse, everybody. Notice what Jesus said. He said, if you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness. Please note that Jesus did not say, if you pay me a visit, you won't have to walk in darkness. He did not say, if you pay me a visit, you won't have to walk in darkness. Jesus was clear. He doesn't want just a little visit from you. Jesus doesn't do cups of tea and scones. Jesus laid his life down for you, and he invites you to wholeheartedly follow him, to copy his values, obey his teachings, and follow his way of doing life. Why? So you can be free from the darkness that is killing you and hurting you. But some people, they just like to pay Jesus just a little visit. Oh, I'll visit Jesus today. A little prayer here, a little prayer there, a little bit of church here, a little bit of church there. They don't really want to follow Jesus. They're happy to settle just for a grey heart. But Jesus doesn't do grey hearts. He doesn't do cups of tea and scones, and he doesn't do grey hearts. You're either hot or you're cold. Your heart is either filled with darkness or it is filled with light. And Jesus said, if you would follow him, only then will you have the light that leads to life. Amen. That's a good place to say amen. Come on, amen. 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 But it raises a very important question. How can you follow Jesus? How is it possible to follow Jesus? What does it even mean to follow Jesus when Jesus ascended to heaven? How can you follow Jesus when you can't see him with your natural eyes? How can we find out how he handled life and what his values were and what his teachings were? How can we copy him? Well, the Bible says this in Psalm 119 and 105, verse 105. It says, your word is a lamp. Yeah, a lamp to my feet. Powerful lamp, amen. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. God has given us his word to provide light for our feet and a light for our path. So listen very carefully, please. Jesus is the light, and also the word of God is the light that dispels the darkness. So when I take up God's word and apply it to my life, then I am following Jesus Christ. I'm learning about Jesus Christ. But that raises another question, and most of you know the answer, but not everybody does. And that's okay. It's okay. What on earth? Here's a question. What on earth is God's word? You know, when it says your word, what on earth is God's word? Well, the Bible is God's word. Yes. When I apply the Bible, then I'm following Jesus. When I'm not applying the Bible, I'm not following Jesus. When I apply the Bible, I'm following Jesus. And ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is so much more than a book filled with lots of words. The Bible is alive. It is powerful. The Bible is the presence, power, and wisdom of God. It gives us the wisdom we need so we can live with light in a world that's filled with darkness. Jesus is the light for my heart, and the Bible is the light for my path. Jesus is the light for my heart, and the Bible is the light for my journey through life. So what am I trying to say? Thank you for asking that, everybody. This is the pointy end right now. When we finally pray to Jesus Christ and ask him for the gift of salvation, and we're going to do that at the end of this message in a few moments. And so you can pray to Jesus and ask for salvation. That's what we're going to do. When you do that, a miracle happens in your heart, your dark heart. A miracle takes place there. Can't see it with these, but a miracle takes place there. And the light of God comes in to your heart, and forgiveness washes away our sin. God's forgiveness washes away the darkness, the sin, things we've done wrong. And the thick darkness of rebellion is dispelled from our hearts because the light has come. We're made right with God, and a change begins within our hearts. That's a good place, everybody, to say amen. I know most of you know this, but I'm just reminding you. However, although we've chosen to follow Jesus, we've been so used to living in the darkness. Maybe you've been living in the darkness for the last 30 or 40 years. We're so used to living in the darkness that our brains, everybody got a brain here? Just want to just check. Okay. Our brains are conditioned to respond to our circumstances pretty much the same way as we've always been. We become a Christian, our hearts get clean, but we've become a Christian, but we've had all these years of behaving, of living in the darkness, just like everybody else. You become a Christian and stuff happens around you, but you respond to those things because you've been conditioned to respond to them from a position of darkness. Everybody understands what I'm trying to say? That happens to everybody. And so as a Christian, you can still make poor choices. And you can still behave badly. Who knows that Christians can behave really badly? Just look at the person next to you and you know what I mean. Just, you know. I didn't mean to be rude about that. I mean no offense. But as a Christian, you can behave badly. Yeah, because that's the way you've been trained when the darkness ruled your life. That's how it used to be. For example, if you're used to swearing and using profanity before you became a Christian, then you may perhaps still swear and find it easy to swear and use profanity after you become a Christian, because that's the way you've always spoken, and that's the way your mates speak, that's the way your family speaks, and that kind of comes natural to you. So even though you're a Christian, those words can still sometimes flow out. Or perhaps You've always, you know, for a long time now, you've been addicted to pornography. I looked at porn. You know, before you became a Christian, you thought nothing of it. That's what you used to do. And then you become a Christian, then, but maybe still, you know, that's become a habit that you're addicted to. And so you find yourself, even as a Christian, behaving badly and looking at the porn again. Because that's what you've always done. Your brain's conditioned that way. It's been conditioned with darkness. Your heart now has light in it, but your brain's still being conditioned by darkness. But now you're a Christian. You now want to honor God. And you want to stop doing such stupid, foolish things. I don't want to be swearing. I don't want to be looking at porn. I don't want to be behaving badly, losing my temper all the time. I'm a Christian now. I want to honor God. I don't want to do that stuff anymore. Now you're a Christian. You want to put destructive behavior behind you. You know it's wrong. So the light of Jesus not only needs to filter into our hearts, but it needs to filter into our minds and break the power of that dark behavior. So how do you get the light into your mind? Here it is. Read the Bible. Keep reading the Bible. As your pastor, I'm being really serious. I know I joke around a lot. But from the bottom of my heart, I plead with you, read your Bible. Never stop reading your Bible. You get the light of God into your brain cells by reading the Bible. It tells you how to live in the light. Amen. You have Jesus in your heart and you put the Bible in your brain. In fact, you will only get rid of the darkness inside your mind by shining the light of the Bible into your brain cells. Because remember, the light chases the darkness away. So if you as a Christian... If as a Christian you've made a poor choice this past week, or if you've behaved badly, here's the thing, listen, don't pull away from God. Sometimes, see, this is what the devil's tactics are. Oh, you're not much of a Christian. You swore, you looked at some porn, you smoked some dope this week. You know, oh, you're not much of a Christian. And if, don't you go to church? Don't you pray? Don't touch that holy book. You're not worthy to touch the holy book. That's what the devil says. I'm giving you some good advice today. As a Christian, you know, if you've made a poor choice, you've done something wrong, you know, even if you've committed a crime, don't pull away from God. Don't quit. Because if you do that, you will always remain in darkness forever. Instead, when you do something wrong, lean into Jesus even more. Lean into the Lord. When you behave badly, run to God. Don't run away from God. Run to God. Run to the light. Always go to the light. Always run to the light. You know, a lot of people, they struggle with their thought life and they think, oh, I've got to overcome my thought life. And they do these mental gymnastics because they had a bad thought in their head. No, the simple solution is run to the light. Put more of the light in your head. Read the Bible. Keep coming to church and hearing good sermons like this one. It will change your life. Amen. Keep putting the light into your heart, your mind, and your brain. Because the light dispels the darkness. Finally, if you have never read the Bible before, get ready for the ride of your life. But, you know, we could talk about all this later, but if you've never read the Bible before, I strongly recommend, and even if you've stopped reading the Bible, you need to get back into it, I strongly recommend that you spend a good amount of time in the New Testament of the Bible. For a while, I strongly recommend the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Really, I strongly recommend, I think everybody in this room, we should go through those books again. They're the autobiographies of Jesus, or the biographies of Jesus. Sorry, we need to read those. Even if you struggle to read, because I know sometimes some people struggle with their reading, you could even listen to our daily post on social media that we've called Boost. From Monday to Friday, we read a little bit of scripture, going through the book of Acts at the moment. It will give you a boost. It will give you a bit of light. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. Come on, everybody, let's stand to our feet. Come on, let's pray. Maybe you've got a bit of darkness going on in your life. Let's pray. You know, and we close our eyes when we pray because it just simply stops us from being distracted. But let's just have a moment. Let's lean into Jesus right now. You know, maybe there's a bit of darkness in your thought life, a bit of darkness in your marriage, a bit of darkness with your parenting, a bit of darkness in your health, a bit of darkness in your finances. Well, Almighty God said, "Let there be light." And there was light, and the light was good. You know, there's that song we've been singing recently. It says, "I speak Jesus." When you speak Jesus, you speak the light. So I just thought, before we say the sinner's prayer, how about, you know, just speak the name of Jesus. Speak light into your life right now. Verbally, why don't you speak? Speak light over your kids right now. Speak light over your health right now. Speak light over your marriage right now. Speak light over your life, over your walk with Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, we speak light today over our lives. We speak the light of God. Let there be light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
We speak the name of Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus. 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 Brothers and sisters, let's say the name of Jesus. Come on. Jesus. One more time. Jesus. And Father, we just thank you that Jesus is the light of the world, but Jesus is our light. And we speak Jesus over our families. We speak Jesus over our relationships. We speak Jesus over our health. We speak Jesus over our kids and grandkids. We speak Jesus over our jobs. We speak Jesus over our health. We speak Jesus over our thought life. We speak Jesus over our relationship with God. We speak Jesus. Lord, shine your light today upon Real Life Church in Jesus' name. For those at home, we speak Jesus. For those who are watching this service today and later in the week, Jesus. 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 We're going to pray what we call the sinner's prayer. This is one of the most powerful prayers you could ever pray. It becomes powerful when we mean it from our hearts. And we're going to have it up on the screen right now. And I'd love it if we could all say it. Some of us have said it many times. And that's good. It's okay. Let's say it again. But there's going to be somebody here right now, maybe more than one, maybe several people, that you're going to say this. And this is going to be the first time you've ever actually really meant it. And what's going to happen to you is, as you pray this prayer and open your heart to God and you really mean it, Jesus is going to come into your life. He's going to come into your heart. And that thick darkness is going to go. And you're going to be forgiven of your sins. And you're going to be made right with God. That's a powerful thing. That's a powerful thing. It's a simple prayer. But when you engage your heart, it becomes a powerful prayer. So we're all going to say it together. So we'll have it on the screen. And here we go. Ready, everybody? Dear God, I know I'm a sinner and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe Jesus Christ is your son. I believe that he died for my sin and that you raised him to life. I want to trust him as my Savior and follow him as Lord from this day forward. Guide my life and help me to do your will. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.